Welcome to another episode of the ThoughtWorks podcast. My name is Klaus. I'm a developer here in the Hamburg office of ThoughtWorks Germany. And I'm joined today by Florian, who's also a developer at ThoughtWorks Germany. And he's the author of a tool called Lambda CD, which we are going to talk about today. Welcome, Florian.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
So what is Lambda CD exactly?
Well, maybe it's best explained as it's the extension of the idea of infrastructure as code, but to your build pipeline. So normally you would probably set up your build pipeline by clicking around in your UI, maybe in Jenkins or in GoCD. I decided to try out what it would mean to do the same, but completely in code. So that you can have all the power of your build pipeline, all the power of your normal programming language to build your own build pipelines.
So how does that look like exactly? I know that by code you mean Clojure. And so it is a bit like a framework to program a build pipeline.
Right, that's pretty much it. It's a Clojure library, and there's also a nice template to get you started. So in the end, what you're doing, you're writing another piece of software. But this particular piece of software is going to be the piece of software that runs your tests, that builds your code, that deploys your code into any environment you like. So what you would do is you have a bit of boilerplate code to set up some of the basics of the build pipeline, and then you write a set of really small normal Clojure functions that would do what your build pipeline steps would normally do. And you assemble them in some structure that makes sense to you to define kind of the way your build pipeline should be assembled. So you want to build your code first, that's one function. You want to call another function that runs your tests. You want to run another function that deploys into an environment, something like that.
So many of us probably do continuous integration or continuous delivery, and we probably all have a Jenkins server lying around somewhere. Maybe we do open source and we use Travis CI, or maybe you also mentioned GoCD. Why would I consider doing build pipelines as code then?
Well, it really depends whether you really need that kind of power. In general, I think something like Travis CI already is build pipelines as code in a very simple sense, right? So you have a small configuration file that tells Travis CI how to build your code and how to test it. That's, in a way, already build pipelines as code. It's just a very simple version. You can do something similar with something like the job DSL in Jenkins, or there are also tools to do that in GoCD. The question is really, they're all limited in what they can do when things get complicated. So when you look at Jenkins, for example, Jenkins does not really have a concept of what a build pipeline is, which makes it really hard to build pipelines with it. There are plugins that make it easier, but it's still a conceptual limitation that it just has. And when you're trying to do complicated things, that becomes a burden. And so you get questions like, how can I reuse parts of my build pipeline if I have several teams? If I have really complex deployment steps, how will I test them? Can I version control my build pipelines correctly? Why do I want to version control my build pipelines?
Wait a minute, maybe we talk a bit about first, what is a build pipeline? You've been mentioning that. What is it for you?
For me, it's the set of steps you need to take from a commit in your source code repository through all the steps you need to take to get confidence in the product you're trying to build and deploy it into some environment that is probably first a test environment, a QA environment, staging environments, and finally, if you're lucky, also a production environment already. Mm-hmm. So the build pipeline coordinates that whole process for me.
Okay, so you mentioned already a few of the common steps. You clone your source code repository. You probably build it, and then you run some unit tests, and then onwards to the more high level tests like integration tests or functional tests, maybe even load tests. But that sounds pretty straightforward for me as a start. But you mentioned it might get pretty complicated soon, right?
Yes. So maybe the example I can give from my last project, where I actually had the idea to do that. First of all, we're talking a really large organization. So they have standards and what needs to happen for something to go into production. So there's some reporting involved. There are things involved that check whether you can go to production at this point in time. For example, because there was a really high load on the system at that time and you don't want to risk it. So those things need to be enforced consistently over all the teams. You can talk about whether that really makes sense or whether it's worth it. It was something we had to deal with in that particular project. And when you say you want to enforce that across all different teams, you're talking about reuse, which is really tough to do in the tools we had at the time, especially something like Jenkins. There was a setup in there and it kind of worked. It really made it really hard to understand what was going on. If you have to enforce such standards, you probably also want to test that and you want to really rely on this to happen, because after all, this is the thing that stands between the code that gets checked in by a developer and your production system. So if it doesn't work correctly, if your deployment mechanisms doesn't work and don't work correctly, that's a problem for you. We've had instances where this pipeline deployed to the wrong environments, which is something you really don't want to do if you have an e-commerce platform that serves millions of users and tons of revenue each day. So you want to rely on those systems. So testing and reliability is really important to get these things right.
Right. So we're going to talk about a bit more of the context of how you got started with Lambda CD and building Lambda CD in a second, but let's stay on this for a bit. So you already teased us that you have a bit of a complicated setup going on. So so if I want a small project, would you say that it's for me rather fine to use any of the proven solutions like Jenkins or Travis, or does Lambda CD have any strengths in like smaller projects as well?
I would say it really depends. So I myself use Travis CI to build Lambda CD just because it's the right tool for that particular job. It's a library, it has so the build pipeline is one step, that's testing the library. And Travis CI is the right tool for that job, and I wouldn't recommend using anything else. I also wouldn't go through setting up Lambda CD just for this simple thing. It's not there for that. Other than that, I think it really depends what you are trying to do. If you're happy with the setup you currently have, stay with it. There's no need for switching. What I see often is that people are not happy with the setup they have, and they look for something different. Right. And then you might want to give it a try. What I would always recommend when you're setting up a build server, try to figure out how you can version control that. It's really tough if your build server is a snowflake and you have no idea how to set it up again once your server inevitably will fail. You also have no idea what will happen if you change something. How do you get back to a known good state? So version control, I think, is no longer just an option for your build pipeline.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we probably, some of our listeners have been at the point already where they built their nice version control software and they have their nice version control developer environments, maybe using Vagrant, and then they build their changes and they push it to their immutable infrastructure, which gets spun up in the cloud, maybe on Amazon. But then the thing that orchestrates all the bits that's in the middle is probably a Jenkins server, which is, if I might say so, rather hard to put into version control. So maybe could you walk us through the anatomy of a Lambda CD pipeline for a bit? So it's you basically said it's just code, in this case closure code. But what else? How do I do my first build in Lambda CD?
You have to write a bit of code. There's a template to get you started, and this is a complete Clojure application. So you can use it like any other Clojure application. You can run it with your Clojure build tool, and that would give you a small server. That server has a UI you can call in your web browser, and you can start triggering a build there. So that's a very simple build pipeline. And from there, you can go on, and you can add your own build steps. that is a function that's calling to another library function that would, for example, clone a Git repository or call something on the command line. And once you wrote all some of those steps, you define them in a structure that makes sense for your build pipeline. So a build pipeline structure in Lambda CD is basically nothing more than a list. It's a list of functions, and if you want, you can nest them to get some control flow, for example. So for example, I can have a few build steps that don't have to run sequentially, and then I have, for example, three tests that can run in parallel. So I can nest those three in a parallel sequence as well. And that's basically it. Then you have a small Clojure application that can build and deploy your code for you. And that application you can treat like any other application. You can deploy it onto some server. You can do build pipelines for your build pipelines if you want that. You can do anything you would normally do with your code.
So maybe if we come now a bit to more the context behind the project, you already talked a bit about the client you're currently at, which is a big German retailer with a microservice architecture. And you mentioned a bit of about the pains you had with the old build pipeline setup. So how did this whole thing get started?
Well, it got started with the story I mentioned earlier, actually. So we were, I was in one of the delivery teams then, and we had what we call the daily action pair. That's a pair of two developers that takes care of all the small things that happen on a day-to-day basis that interrupt the team, so the rest of the team doesn't get interrupted. And among those things, we're also trying to keep an eye on the production environment and keeping an eye on releases. And that particular day, our release didn't work. So it deployed to the staging environment instead of to our production environment, which is not something that you want. And we spent about half a day, first of all, trying to figure out what our delivery pipeline was doing, because this was a Jenkins setup that grew over the years and had some interesting reuse concepts in there. And we were really trying to figure out what it did, why it did the things it did, and why it didn't do the things we were trying to do. We did figure it out in the end, but it really got us talking during lunch, like, what would our ideal setup actually be? What would we need? So we'd want something we could version control easily. We wanted some tool support to do things like refactorings and easy reuse and testing and all those things. And we were thinking about how would we actually do that? And the idea I had back then was, well, there are tools that can do that. They're called programming languages, right? We've solved how to test code with a programming language. We've solved how to deliver code, how to build code, how to reuse code. Every programming language has libraries and source code repositories and test infrastructure and all that. Could we actually use that and create our build pipelines with the same tools we already know? So that was the basic idea I had back then. And Lambda CD is basically the result of that experiment back then.
So if we're talking about a microservice environment where you have a bunch of small services which talk to each other, and build pipelines, which are just another set of applications, does that mean we have just a bunch of micro pipelines, or do you put everything into one big build server?
Well, the nice thing about having a microservice architecture is you're probably already kind of good in deploying services into your environment. So there's not much actually preventing you from having what you call micro pipelines, so small pieces of code that just do one thing, namely to test and deploy your one application. So that works, and we've actually been using that in our project really successfully. I would say it depends a bit on how you're going to structure your pipeline. So for example, when you have dependencies between different services, so you need to take into account when building and deploying those services, then maybe it makes sense to have a larger service that handles deployments and tests for several services at once. That really depends a bit. One thing we found, when you really have lots of small projects that all are responsible for only one of the microservices, is that while they are usually somewhat different, there's also a lot of things that are the same. For example, deployment kind of works the same across all your microservices because you usually have them on the same platform. So for that, you need to find some way, a way of abstracting this out and reusing that across your different pipelines. But after all, your build pipelines are code, so you can do what you would normally do when you have to reuse stuff, right? You pull out functions, you pull out classes, you create a library for the things you want to reuse across your different services. And this is exactly what you can do with your build pipelines as well.
So in your current environment, you then have a bunch of Lambda CD pipelines, which are different services, and they share something like a library. How do they do that?
Yeah, pretty much. So there's more than one library for different aspects of our platform. So there's, for example, one library that abstracts away all the details of our deployments. And there's another library that takes care of the reporting of production releases and things like that. But yeah, those are just small closure libraries that you can pull into your project. And we also added a small template that can generate a complete build pipeline. So when you set up a new microservice, you might have a microservice template. So there's also a pipeline template. So you create two templates, you commit that into a source control repository, and you run that new pipeline once. And that basically gives you a path from commit to production in 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh, that sounds tempting. So the exposure I got to writing closure code is pretty limited. You chose closure for writing Lambda CD, but I can see a bit how all the functional tools you have within closure fit in very neatly with the pipeline concept. But as a closure starter, how much closure do I need for doing Lambda CD? Isn't that even a thing at all?
No, that's actually the question I get asked the most. So I try to make it easy. Because I know not everyone is a Clojure developer, and I would say to get started, you don't need a lot of Clojure experience. The bits and pieces are usually abstracted. So when you get started, you call a bit of the library code you already have, and you can build on the things you get from the basic getting started guide, and that already brings you forward a bit. Of course, when you want to get the real power of build pipelines as code, well, then you should probably know a bit of how to code in that particular language. Right. So it should be easy for even non-Clojure developers to get started, and you can learn and adapt and move on from there. So yeah, in the end, you'd probably want to write some Clojure code.
Are there any other challenges, particularly to continuous delivery in such a microservice environment as you are in currently?
Lots of them, I would say. I think testing is probably the hardest. Not so much testing in a general sense, but trying to get into independently test the small pieces you have and the way to communicate with the rest of your infrastructure and with the other services. Because obviously, when you have everything in a single service, it's relatively easy to test the bits and pieces working together. When they're talking over network, when they're maintained by different teams, you no longer have that so much. So what I found to work really well there is contract tests. Because you can isolate your expectations on the services you're using, and those services can define their expectations on your service really well.
So how does that look like for the pipelines involved?
So what you would do in the ideal case is when I'm expecting your service to do something for me, then I would write a test for that. And I'm giving that test to you to put into your pipeline. So whenever you make a change, you actually can check whether you violated my expectations.
Oh, so your expectation turns my bill red and keeps me from deploying my software?
Probably, because it gives you a really nice idea whether you're actually fulfilling the things you promised. Yes.
But then again, it's my turn to fix it.
Well, you made a change, right? We've actually had that happen in one of our projects. So our teams are independent from each other, mm-hmm. and they can decide which tests they want to have in their pipeline and which they don't want to have in their pipeline. And one of our teams decided that this particular test wasn't useful to them and that they didn't want to have it in their pipeline. And that worked well until we find a bug in production. And it turned out that the contract tests would actually have found that bug beforehand, shortly after build. So we got that feedback only once it was into production, and cost a lot of developers a lot of pain to try to debug it when it was something that could have been clear from the start. So at least I, as a developer, I want to get feedback as early as I can. And if I can get feedback that I'm breaking somebody else's code, then that's something I want to know as fast as I can. So I really like that approach.
So it's about feedback loops, as with many things in the end.
Yes.
So you've been maintaining Lambda CD for a while. How was that like? I can imagine you didn't really use Lambda CD in production right from the start. And now I know that several teams at your client are doing it. How is that like?
So you're right. There was quite some time before I actually saw it in production with real people. First of all, because it was an experiment in the beginning. I didn't really, in the beginning, expect this to be a large project. So there was a few months of just experimentation, and I saw that this could lead somewhere, so I put some more work into it. And when I got a feeling that this is something that could help the team, then I introduced it to the team, and they liked it a lot, and it wasn't too long until it actually got into production for some of our less critical services back then. And I think I really learned a lot from that experience of actually having to use it day to day. So in terms of user experience, things you think are good in your head, but when you actually have to use them, they're not really that great. So that dogfooding aspect is absolutely critical to how I do my work. And from there on out, it's spread across other teams. And those teams have different requirements, and they come to me with questions, and they come to me with feature requests. And that is really interesting to me because it gives me feedback on how other people use it and what actually other people need that I wouldn't even have considered if I didn't have those people. So feedback is great when you're maintaining such a piece of software.
So I know you already went out on the streets. It's not only you and your near colleagues using it, but also you gave a talk very recently at CloserD in Berlin. And a conference called Software Circus. Also, Lambda CD was featured not only due to the experiences that you just described in the ThoughtWorks Tech Radar, but from a maintainer side, is it mostly you maintaining it, or you and your colleagues, or is there already people out in the open contributing to it?
A lot of it is still me, but I got some really valuable contributions from some of my colleagues, but also people I don't really know. So I'm always surprised when I get pull requests or issues from people who I have no idea why they would even know about it, because they probably never saw me at a conference. But I get really interesting feedback and really interesting pull requests from them. Interestingly enough, a number of them are trying to do... are trying to do something like branch-based development with Lambda CD, which is something I probably wouldn't prefer as a continuous delivery guy, but apparently the Lambda CD is useful for getting the complexity that you introduce when you have branch-based development. So it's probably not what I envisioned Lambda CD to be used for, but it's still interesting if it can solve their problems.
Yeah, well, that's always a very good moment for an aspiring open source project when the first contributions come in, and yeah, you get new perspectives on how it's actually used. So for you personally, how do you balance the development of the open source library versus your day-to-day work? I mean, you're a consultant developer at ThoughtWorks, but you have a lot of like company time from your client or from ThoughtWorks, or is it mostly in your spare time, and how do you balance?
So when the team is using it at a client side, that's kind of nice because it gives me a bit of time to work on it during at a client. But I would say that is, let's say, less than 1% of the time I'll probably put into the library. ThoughtWorks was really nice. They gave me some time to just work solely on that project. And apart from that, it's still mostly in my spare time on the weekends or on evenings.
So if hopefully by the time we get a few of our listeners interested in Lambda CD, what would be a good place to start? And are there any specific kinds of contributions you're looking for currently?
Maybe two things I haven't looked into so much, but I want to. And if someone is interested in that and wants to pick that up, that would really be great. The first one would be how to distribute the builds across more than one machine. You probably noticed from your build server, you have one build server and a number of agents that can run parts of the build. Lambda CD doesn't have that at the moment, and I'm not too sure whether it should be the core of Lambda CD. But what I would really like is some way to spawn parts of the pipeline on different servers. So that might be some existing cluster management tool like Apache Mesos or something, or that might be something you just hand roll. That would be something that would really be interesting to me because I get that question a lot, even if I don't really need it at my current projects. The second thing that comes up more and more often as you get into larger projects is, can you wire different pipelines together in the way the delivery flow works in GoCD, for example. We have this really nice concept of having one pipeline that feeds into another pipeline that feeds into two other pipelines. Lambda CD doesn't have that at the moment, and I'm thinking of doing something like that in the future. But if someone has ideas on that, I'd be really happy to listen to that.
No, that sounds great. Sounds like there's still room for people who want to get into open source more and maybe did a few things here and there in Clojure to really shape the direction that Lambda CD is going and really have a sustainable impact on the direction of the project as well.
Also, one thing I just forgot is probably my most recent feedback. The UI looks ugly. And there is a reason for that, and the reason is for that is I'm not really good in UI development. I've done some, but you can see that I'm not really experienced in this when you look at the UI. So if someone is so pained by the UI that they want to build a new one, feel free to do so.
So it's not necessarily only Clojure.
Right.
Right. That sounds cool. So, so coming to an end, what would be the best way for people to reach out to you if they have more questions about Lambda CD, contributing to Lambda CD, or continuous delivery in a microservice environment?
The easiest one is probably GitHub at the moment. It's Lambda CD on GitHub. Just open a ticket, or there's also a link to a chat. You can always reach me there. It's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Sounds cool. We also put links to all the relevant homepage and GitHub project and to your Twitter account into the show notes. And do you have any last more bits you want to add?
Not much. Try it out. See for yourself.
Okay. So then, Flo, thanks a lot for your time. It was a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you all for listening. Please go to SoundCloud and go to iTunes to rate our podcast if you enjoyed this show. And be sure to subscribe to tune in for our next episode of the ThoughtWorks podcast. Thank you and bye-bye.
Bye.